Welcome everyone to our morning service this morning. It's great to see you here. We're going to start our service with a special song this morning. We have our adult choir and our children's choir singing together the caroling reel. Service this morning. I want to welcome everyone to our service. If you're a visitor with us this morning, we encourage you to take one of our communication cards located in the back of the pew. fill that out for us. We'd like to send you a letter of thanks for being in our service, and you can put that in the offering plate in just a few moments. I'd also like to welcome our radio audience. We are on the radio on Monday nights at 8 o'clock on WEMM 107.9, and we get a lot of good responses from people who hear our programs on the radio, so we just encourage them and welcome them to our service this morning. I do have a few announcements I want to very quickly make before we go on and get into the rest of our service. First of all, we have a special guest with us this morning, Brother Paul Badgett, who is a KBC regional representative, is here to bring our message this morning, and he'll be here again with us this evening and next Sunday. So we just praise God for his willingness to come. And of course, Paul is not a stranger to Rose Hill. He was called to ministry out of our church and has pastored several churches around the area and now is working for the KBC. We just welcome Paul and Miss Regina with us this morning. Also, tomorrow is the day that we prepare our Christmas baskets for deserving families. If you have not brought in your non-perishable items, be sure and bring those in before the end of today. And we'll be preparing those baskets at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. Don't forget our Christmas Eve service, 5:30 Wednesday evening. That's a change in our regular time, but it's a family candlelight service, so be sure and come and bring your families with you and enjoy a good Christmas Eve service. Well, this is the month when we emphasize our Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Our goal this year for a Christmas offering is $15,000. All of these offerings go to our international missionaries. At this time, we have a video we would like you to see related to our Lottie Moon Christmas offering.
Jesus did not call us to ease and safety. He called us to love for the sake of his name everywhere. In Acts chapter 1, when Jesus tells his disciples to be his witnesses, he's not giving a mandate just for that period and that time. He's giving a mandate to the church for all time, and understanding that if he is God, how could I not do everything in my power to be a part of missions throughout the world? It's been a seamless transition of doing missions here in Virginia as well as overseas in East Asia, because the contexts were very similar. We have a young professional context here, and the city that we were working in there was filled with young professionals. And one young man told me right off the bat that he was an atheist, but he asked if I would be willing to spend time with him. And over the period of the next week, I was able to talk to him about my belief in God, whereas he didn't believe that God even existed. The night before I had to leave, he told me, he said, "I can no longer say that I don't believe in God, because I now do, and I believe that he brought you here to talk to me over this past week." And the beauty with this story is that I didn't have to simply leave him. I was able to connect him with people that were gonna live there full time, who are gonna continue that relationship and continue to have an influence in his life for the gospel of Jesus Christ.
We shared the gospel with dozens of people, and by the end of our time there, we actually had a couple small churches planted.
To know Jesus and to follow Jesus.
It excites me to be a part of what the IMB is doing, because we're able to give tangibly towards something that's going on all over the world. God has called us to live sacrificially to get the gospel out. And when we give, we know specifically that it is going overseas and it is going to take the gospel to those who need it.
Father, I pray that you would move in us to give generously to the offering this morning. Lord, we just love you and thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
We do want to encourage everyone to take part in our Lottie Moon Christmas offering this year. Well, let's continue our service this morning. Let's stand and sing, Good Christian Men Rejoice. Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Give ye heed to what we say. News, news, Jesus Christ is born today. Man and beast before him bow, and he is in the manger now. Christ is born today. Christ is born today. Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye hear of endless bliss. Joy, joy, Jesus Christ was born for this. He hath opened heaven's door, and man is blessed forevermore. Christ was born for this. Christ was born for this. Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now he need not fear the grave. Peace, peace, Jesus Christ was born to save. Well, at this time, we have a special privilege. We had a young man come forward a few weeks ago to profess Christ as his Savior, and this morning we have a baptism service here in the middle of our service, but Brother David Green is going to come to baptize Drew Smith.
Sunday going into Christmas. Amen. What a blessing. And you're going to meet little Drew here in a minute, and you're talking about a blessing to our church and to our to his family. We just rejoice with him. For those of you who are guests visiting here, I just want to tell you that the Lord God in his Bible gives his church two ordinances, the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, the ordinance of baptism. And today we're going to baptize Drew. Baptism is an act of obedience where the believer is publicly telling everyone, I believe in the crucified, buried, and risen Savior. Baptism is not salvation. There's nothing magical about these waters. But like I said, baptism is an outward expression of a believer's heart. And we rejoice with Drew today. Drew, come on down. This is Drew Smith. Drew got saved a couple of weeks ago, and Miss Angie in our children's program has been counseling with him. And he was ready to go this morning.
Amen.
He's excited, he's enthused, and I know his family is too, and so we rejoice with him. So Drew, you're going to turn this way. In obedience to the commands of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and upon your public profession of faith in him, I baptize you, my little brother Drew, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In likeness of Jesus' death and burial, and in likeness of his resurrection.
Once upon a Christmas, far away in Bethlehem, Mary, being great with child, had no place to lie down. So Joseph found a stable in which Mary had her child. Once upon a Christmas was the birth of Jesus Christ. Once upon a Christmas, in a manger far away, a king was born. His palace was a manger filled with hay. His royal robes were swaddling cloth, a halo was his crown. Once upon a Christmas, away in Bethlehem. And all the world rejoiced, because a king was born at last. A savior had been promised, now it had come to pass. And the joyful news that he was born spread quickly far and wide. Once upon was the birth of Jesus Christ. Because the king was born at last, a savior had been promised, now it had come to pass. And the joyful news that he was born spread quickly far and wide. Once upon a Christmas
was the birth of Jesus Christ.
Once upon a Christmas, from the far east wise men came with gold and myrrh and frankincense to praise the newborn king. Shepherds left their flocks and came to see and worship him. Once upon a Christmas, away in Bethlehem.
Once upon a Christmas,
far away in Bethlehem,
this morning on our prayer list, we want to pray for Landon Daniels. Landon was in the hospital this past week. He was suffering a very severe case of the flu. I believe he's gone home now. Yes, he's gone home now, but continue to pray for him as he recovers. We've had a number of our people who have been affected by the flu this year. And for that reason, we're not doing our fellowship time. For a little bit of time here, we probably won't fellowship just because we don't want to spread any germs. But be sure and smile at everyone every chance you get. Also, pray for the family of Annabelle Stewart. Annabelle's service was this past week. And just pray for that family as they deal with their her homegoing. Brother Danny Gallion is going to come and lead us in our prayer this morning. Again, be sure and come for our special service tonight, the Children's Christmas Program.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we really, really, really thank you for sending your Son at this time of year to die for our sins over 2,000 years ago. Lord, we our hearts are just so full of the Spirit that just that your Son came, died for us, and we are here, and we don't deserve it. And you laid your life down for us, and we can have eternal life because of this. And Lord, I pray that everyone just knows that that is the whole reason for the season, that we can see people come to you to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and live forever with you. Lord, we pray for our church this morning. We pray for the offering. We pray for those in the nursing homes. Pray for those who have lost loved ones. This is a very, very hard time of year. Pray that you comfort them. Lord, we pray that you would be with the church. Be with Brother Badgett this morning as he brings a message. All these things we thank you for. In Christ's name, amen.
This is one of my favorite. What child is this? Let's stand together and sing. It has such a great message. What child is this? What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, who may greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch our keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing.
Bring him incense.
whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary.
Please be seated. Well, it is a pleasure to have Brother Paul Badger with us this morning. Brother Paul, you come and preach to us what God's laid on your heart.
Well, on behalf of Dr. Paul Chitwood and the Kentucky Baptist Convention, the Merry Christmas Rose Hill Baptist Church, it's good to see you in God's house this morning. Kentucky Baptist Convention exists because of Kentucky Baptist Churches and for Kentucky Baptist Churches to help Kentucky Baptist Churches reach their Kentucky, their portion of Kentucky, and their world for Christ Jesus. I'm so grateful for you. I might just mention that I was on the telephone a little early this morning with a former pastor of yours, Dr. Mike Rout, and Dr. Mike Rout now had a really good conversation and a prayer for you. And Dr. Rout and his family extends to you a Merry Christmas greeting to the whole congregation. And we had prayer for Rose Hill Missionary Baptist Church. And guess what we prayed? We prayed, Lord, we pray that the best days of Rose Hill Baptist Church are yet ahead of her. That was our prayer this morning. Amen, amen, amen. You're celebrating 60 years, and I just want to congratulate you for that. And see some of the young men and ladies that you have serving in this church, it just thrills my heart. I had the opportunity to go to the Currys last night. I know Ron and Rebecca are so proud of Ryan, who just finished a Master of Divinity's degree from Southern Seminary, and that's not easy, I can tell you. I know exactly what he's been through, and I can identify with that. And so young men like this, and I just want to congratulate him. Well, if you have your copy of God's Word this morning, you want to turn to the reading of God's holy and inerrant, inspired, living Word, if you would, turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And as you turn there, I'll ask you to stand as we read God's Word together. I'm using these glasses. I couldn't find my glasses this morning. Now, I can tell you that, and so I just use these bifocals. And, you know, when you get a little older, you know, I would tell you the first thing that goes, Brother Smokey, but I've already forgot what it is. Amen. I don't know where I put those glasses. But stand in honor of the reading. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. We'll begin our reading at verse 8. We'll read down through verse 14 this morning. Bible says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you, and you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Let's bow for a moment of prayer as we ask God's blessings this morning, as I want to speak to you on the important subject of Christmas, a time to celebrate. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I pray this morning for the Rose Hill Missionary Baptist Church, celebrating 60 years of ministry, telling the old, old story about how Jesus died for our sins according to Scripture, how he was buried, how he was raised again the third day also according to Scripture. And I pray, Lord, the prayer again this morning that Dr. Mike Rout and myself prayed as I was making my way here this morning to preach the gospel, that the best days of this great church are still ahead of her. And we'll look forward to sharing with this community. And I pray, Lord, that what you'll do is that you'll give them Ashland and Boyd County for Christ Jesus. Amen. Help them, Lord, to reach their part of Kentucky. And then, Lord, they'll participate in carrying out the Great Commission in North America and around the world. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray these things. Amen. Thank you. You might be seated this morning. By the way, I do want to mention that I have on a blue tie this morning. And the reason I'm wearing a blue tie is I certainly am one that wants to thank our police officers and our policemen and our firemen and those that try to protect us this morning. So in honor of policemen everywhere this morning, I have a blue tie on today. And so it's not just a Christmas color. Amen. I know you do the same. Well, the first Christmas when Jesus was born. Let me tell you about world conditions. When Jesus was born, taxes were too high. Morals were too low. And government had too much control. Amen? And now, here we are 2,000 years later. Guess what? We have taxes too high. Morals are too low. And government has too much control. And so here we are. And we're sandwiched right in between the two Advents. The first Advent, the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we are. And so I praise God for the opportunity. And I tell you, with all that's gone on, the tragic shooting that took place last night, the things that we've experienced, the beheadings of teenagers that refuse to deny the name of Jesus and to accept Allah and Mohammedism and those kinds of things, and to think that those young people were martyred for the cause of Christ. We've been through a lot this year, terroristic threats and all those kinds of things. And I want you to know that I think that we need a little Christmas, because Christmas really is a time to celebrate. It's a time to praise God. The author of the second best-selling book on all of history was Rick Warren's Purpose Driven Life. The first best-selling book, you know what it is? It's the Bible. And so that's the best-selling book. But second to it is the Purpose Driven Life, written by Dr. Rick Warren out in California. And here's what Rick Warren said. He said, Christmas is a party. And he said, it's a time to celebrate. We ought to be celebrating. Now, to quote one of my favorite philosopher, her name is Emily Howard. You know who Emily Howard is? A lot of you don't know Emily Howard. I know Emily Howard. She's a preschooler, First Baptist Church, Pikeville. And she's my favorite philosopher. And here's what Emily Howard said, and I quote Emily. She said this, said, you know, Christmas is Jesus' birthday, but God made it fun for kids. Amen? God made it fun for kids. But you know what? I would just add that God made Christmas fun for everybody. I mean, Christmas is not just for kids. Christmas is for everybody, and I praise God. And so it's a birthday party. I remember when I was doing junior church in this congregation. I haven't been back. It's been a long time since I've been back in this church. I was always afraid to come because I was afraid to sit out there. They'd come and get me and send me over to do junior church. That's what they used to do. And so I was a little hesitant to come back. But nevertheless, we had Mama Wheatley. And she used to do a birthday party for Jesus with the kids every Christmas up in junior church. Well, that's what it is. It's a birthday party. It's not a birthday party for Rudolph. It's not a birthday party for Santa Claus or the Grinch or the elves. Those are all fictional characters. But it's a birthday party for Jesus. And Jesus is not fictional. Jesus is historical. He's a historical figure. Jesus lived and Jesus died. Jesus was buried and Jesus was raised again. I have plenty of evidence, by the way. Christianity is not a blind leap in the dark. Christianity is not based upon I think so. Christianity is based upon I know so. And so we have evidences for what we believe. And so we celebrate. Now, a lot of you are celebrating. You may not be celebrating Jesus this Christmas, but you may be celebrating the fact that you just made it to another year. Amen? That may be what you may be celebrating, the fact that you've got an extra day off work. That may be what you're celebrating. Or you may be celebrating the fact that all the decorations have now been hung, and you're going to be able to relax a little bit and kick them up and just kind of enjoy the Christmas season. But nevertheless, we celebrate. You know why I'm celebrating? I'm celebrating because Jesus came down. The great God of heaven came down from heaven down to earth in order that he might dwell with us. Now, here's what the psalmist said concerning that. He said, in thy presence is the fullness of joy. Do you believe that? Do you believe that if we got into the presence of Jesus this morning, that it would bring a great deal of joy? Now, joy is an intrinsic thing. Joy is not an extrinsic thing. Happiness is extrinsic. Happiness depends upon what happens to you. It comes from the word happens. But joy is intrinsic. Joy is based upon, not based upon what happens to you, but joy is based upon the fact that my sins are forgiven and I'm on my way to heaven. And I put my faith and my trust in Jesus. And so we celebrate. The angel says, we bring you good tidings. What's that? That's good news. We got some good news today. the fact that Jesus has come, and the Bible says it's for all people. Let me read that verse for you again. It says, I bring you good tidings, that's good news, of great joy, joy unspeakable and full of glory, which shall be for all people. And so we praise God. We celebrate. First of all, our celebration is personal. He says, I bring to you. Christmas is for you. And then beyond that, it's positive. He said, I bring you good tidings. That's good news. And then it's universal. It's for all people. So no matter who you are, what you've done, where you've been, where you're headed, Christmas is for you. And so here's some good news. How do you like a little good news today? And news that you can actually use. I'm going to share 3 points with you. This makes it a Baptist sermon, right? 3 points and a story at the end. That makes it an official Baptist sermon. Number one, news you can use. Here it is. Number one, God loves you. Number two, God's come to be with you. And then number three, God is for you. Now, let me just expand on those just a little bit this morning, and I'll tell you my Christmas story, and then we'll be done, and we'll be able to pray, dismiss, then we'll come back here tonight for the children's musical. First of all, God loves you. Now, let me make a statement. Are you ready for this? If you're really willing to listen to this, say amen. Would you do that? Willing to say, okay. Here it is. There's never been a time that God's loved you more than He loves you right now. There's never been a time that God loves you more than He loves you right now. There'll never be a time that He'll love you less. But God loves you. Now, it's kind of interesting because I don't think I'm going to get anything from Santa Claus this year. Because I have been very nice at times this year, amen? And so Santa Claus is based upon whether you've been naughty or whether you've been nice. Whether you get anything from Santa Claus, right? That's Santa Claus's type of love. But that's not God. God's love is not based upon whether you've been naughty or nice. God's love is based upon who He is. Did you know that? You know what the Bible says about God? The Bible says this. God is, tell me what it is, class. God is love. That's who He is. So God's love is based upon who He is. And the Bible says that He loves you. So here's what it means. The Lord didn't come down from heaven down to earth to do something to you. God came from heaven down to earth to do something for you. Now, by the way, I've got to tell you right up front, I'm a little different kind of Baptist preacher, amen? I've got a Baptist head. I think like a Baptist, amen? But I've got a Pentecostal heart, amen? I really do. And I've got Jehovah Witness shoes, amen? That's what I've got. And so every once in a while, I get a little bit excited. And so this excites me to know that God didn't come to do something to me. God came to do something for me. And what that was, the way God expressed that was the cross of Calvary. Jesus came to die on Calvary's cross. Now, I miss being a pastor. People ask me all the time, do you miss being a pastor? Well, of course I miss being a pastor. And one of the things I miss was I'd stand out on 4th Street out in front of First Baptist Church. And I would stand there on the sidewalk, and I love greeting the kids as they would come to church on Christmas Sunday morning. I'd see them come down the sidewalk, and they'd have dad's hand, their hand in dad's hand, and hand mom's hand, and here they come walking down the sidewalk. And I'd ask them this question. I'd say, hey, do you love mom and dad this much? You know what they would do, Smokey? No, they said, no, I love mom and dad what? I love mom and dad that much. Let me tell you something, Rose Hill Missionary Baptist Church. God loved you that much. God was willing to come in order that He might be, that He might pay the ultimate price for you and me. That's how much God loves you and me. Paul said it this way in Romans chapter 8. He said, I'm persuaded that there's absolutely nothing that can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, the word persuaded is a word, it's a perfect tense, which means that Paul became persuaded. There was a time in his life where he became persuaded that nothing could separate him from the love of God that was in Christ Jesus. And then as he makes that statement, perfect tense, it means he remains persuaded. And there'll never be a time in the future where he'll ever be convinced of anything other than nothing could separate him from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I'm just like him. I don't think that there's absolutely anything on planet Earth that could separate us from the love of God that we find in the person of Christ Jesus that's found in Him. The great theologian was asked, tell us a great, deep theological truth.
something that you've not been able to ever understand and that you've not been able to adequately communicate. He said, please share one of those deep truths with us. And the great theologian said, here it is. Are you ready for it? He said, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. He said, I've never been able to understand that completely and totally. Aren't you glad that God loves us? And just think, God doesn't have clones. No two of us are exactly alike. Remember what we did? Some of you came to the crusade. I had you look at your thumb. Now, not everybody was the crusade, so I'm going to have everybody do this, okay? Look at your thumb right now. Would you do that? Notice that thumbprint. Nobody has a thumbprint like that on planet. You're the only one that's got a thumbprint like that. Amen? Now, look at your neighbor and tell them right now that you're a thumb body. Would you do that? Tell your neighbor you're a thumb body. You really are. God didn't make two of us exactly alike. And so there's no two snowflakes that are alike. There's no two individuals that are alike. God brings variety into the world. Now, let me tell you, God brings variety. And I found out something this past week that just kind of bothered me a little bit. You know, there are U of L fans that live in this city. Amen? Did you know that? There's a few of them. You know, there's variety in Ashland. There really is. But praise God, there's a whole lot of UK fans, amen, Big Blue fans, and I praise God for that, amen. You know what kind of preacher I am now, don't you, sister? I thank you for that. But anyway, I love the cats. I mean, Don Mathis, two-time president of the Kentucky Baptist Convention, and also one of our pastors, he's Central Baptist in Corbin, Kentucky for about 16 years, worked for Lifeway Christian Resources, was the executive director in West Virginia. He's got a little boy by the name of Tracy. And you can say, what's your name? He said, my name's Tracy. You say, how do you spell that? He says, T-R-A-C-E-Y, cats, 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 cats. That's what he says. And he thinks that's the way you spell it. So that's a. But God's brought variety in the world, colors in the world, the different colors. And then beyond that, a world filled with rhythms and music. You know, I think about Linus and you know, Charlie Brown, he likes Beethoven and Bach. And I praise God, but I praise the Lord that there are others among us that like Waylon and Dolly, amen? But God has given us different kinds of music. God's filled the world with incredible flavors. You'll experience some of those during Christmas. Why does God do that? Because God loves us. Aren't you glad that evolution is not true? If evolution were true, listen, this would be a tasteless and colorless world. But here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that God richly and ceaselessly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. God has filled this world with wonderful things. Why? Because God loves you and me. And so I praise God for that. Christmas is a time that we can just celebrate. Why do we celebrate? Because we know that God loves us. But then we also want to celebrate because God is with us. You know, this is important for us. A lot of folks feel like they're alone at Christmas time. A lot of folks feel like George Bailey. Does anybody remember who George Bailey is? George Bailey, It's a Wonderful Life. And I suppose that some people are so lonely and they feel so separated from everybody at Christmas time. They almost like George Bailey, feel like jumping off a bridge somewhere. But you know what? We're not alone. Why? Because God has come to dwell among us. His presence to come to be with us. And that's not based upon feelings. Feelings are unreliable. Feelings go like this. Some days you feel like it, some days you don't. Some days you feel saved and some days you don't feel saved. So feelings are very, very, they're not reliable. But we can base what we believe firmly upon God's word, and that is reliable. The Bible tells us in His Word that we're not alone, and I praise God for that. Your feelings can be affected by your medications. Your feelings can be affected by the things you eat, the caffeine that you consume, the lack of sleep, the stress, the tensions, your fears. Those can affect your feelings. But God came to earth to just remind you of something. Listen, you're not alone at Christmas time. God dwells in the midst of His people. I love what David said. You know, he said, if I go to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the deepest part of the grave, you're there. I can't go any place in this universe that you're not there. The angel came to Joseph and said, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, being interpreted what, class? God is with us. Praise the Lord. Now listen, I could have, remember that little Pentecostal heart right here? It's right now, it's going, whoopee, whoopee, whoopee. Amen? So if I have a little spell here, when I begin to think about God dwelling with us, don't you be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. Why? Jesus is with us. I mean, after all, that's what the angel told Joseph. He said, now, Joseph, don't be afraid. And Joseph would go, what, are you kidding me? Are you absolutely, you got to be kidding, angel, because don't you know the circumstances that's surrounding my life right now? Don't you know what I'm going through with Mary and all the things that we're having to deal with right now? Don't you understand what my circumstances are right now? Don't you understand that I have every right to be afraid? The angel said, no, you don't have to be afraid. Why? Because Jesus is going to be with you. You don't have to be afraid. And I praise the Lord for that, that we don't have to be afraid. Some of you are fearful and maybe rightly so. You say, why, preacher? Because, listen, you've never trusted Jesus. And you're not experiencing his presence in your life. So you'd have every right to be afraid. But there's good news. You can trust him today. You can invite him into your heart life today. If you're not a Christian, in just a few moments, I'll be asking you to receive Jesus this Christmas into your heart and into your life. And so here we are. The Bible says this. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth. And so listen, you don't have to be afraid. The Son of God became a son of man so that sons of men might become sons of God. Amen? And that's a glorious thing. That's something that you and I need to learn how to celebrate. So that verse means this. Jesus existed before his mother ever existed. And since Jesus existed, he not only existed before his mother ever came into existence, but listen, he's the one that existed that caused everything else in the universe to come into existence. There has to be one like that, you know. There has to be someone that caused it all to exist. And that one is Jesus. And so here's what it means. Jesus wasn't just birthed into the world. Jesus came down into the world. Why did Jesus do that? In order that he might be with you. In order that he might be with me. So this Christmas, your family may have abandoned you. This Christmas, you may, listen, there may be, you may be going through a horrible separation in your marriage. The divorce could have been just really, really ugly. You could be going through some really horrific kinds of things in your life right now. But listen, you're not alone. The Lord has come down into the world. And the Bible says that he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. He loves you, but not only that, God has come to be with you. You don't have to be afraid. Did you know that there's 365 fear nots in the Bible? Did you know that there's one fear not for every single day during the course of the year? You don't have to be afraid. God's come to be with us. God loves you. But then beyond that, God is also for us. The Bible says, for unto you is born a Savior. God's for us. He's our advocate. It's good to know that God loves you. It's good to know that the Lord is with you. But it's even greater still to know that God is for you. God didn't come into the world to play a gotcha game. God didn't come into the world to criticize you, to put you down, to find a way to judge you. No, God came into the world in order that he might be able to forgive you. If you'll just simply trust him as your personal Lord and Savior. As a matter of fact, if you'll read Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, don't do it right now because I'm really moving towards the conclusion of this sermon, I want you to hang on every word from this point forward, okay? But Jeremiah 29:11 says this, Rose Hill Missionary Baptist Church, those listening to us by radio on WEMM, listen, I want you to hear this. God came to give you a future and a hope. God has come to give you a future and a hope. Man can live weeks without food, live days without water, live minutes without air, but he can't live one single second without hope. And listen, here's what the Bible says concerning the future and the hope that God has come to offer you at Christmas time. Here it is. You ready for it? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the definite expectancy of being in heaven one of these days. Excuse me, I'm going to go have a spell. I tell you, I'm going to do that right now. If that's not something that we ought to be celebrating, we should be celebrating that. And so, bottom line is, God wants the best for you. Came to those old despised and dirty, smelly old shepherds and said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I bring you good tidings. What's that? I bring you some really, really good news, some good news that you can use this Christmas holy day season. By the way, when they say happy holidays, don't let that get under your skin. Holidays comes from the phrase holy days, okay? These are holy days, amen? They're separated in order that we might be able to separate. To celebrate him. Here's what the Bible says. Don't be careful for nothing. You know what that means? It doesn't mean to be reckless. It means don't be anxious. And so many of you are you're so filled with anxiety. You're so nervous that you wear your pants out from the inside out. Amen? But the Bible says don't be anxious about anything, but do what? But pray about what? How much, church? Pray about everything. And we take all of our cares to God because we know that he cares about you. So what are you afraid of? If God is for you, what are you afraid of? You afraid of losing your job? You afraid of being involved in a car wreck? You afraid that you might contract cancer this year? What are you afraid of? What's your number one fear? Let me tell you something. You don't have to be afraid because my God says that he is for you. So the truth is, we don't know what we're going to face in 2014, do we? The truth is, we really don't know what we're going to face. But at the same time, we're reminded in Scripture three things. God loves us. As we move forward, we can say God loves us and God is with us and God wants the best for us. Because God is for each and every single one of us, and I praise God. Listen, God's not mad at you. God's mad about you. As a matter of fact, you want to know how much he loves you? He loves you. He loved you enough. He loved you so much, he loved you till it hurts. That's how much God loves you. And so it's important for us to understand it. Rick Warren said this, said, if you study the life of Christ, you'll quickly see that when you make a mistake or a sin, Jesus doesn't want to rub it in. He wants to rub it out. So it makes no difference what you've done, what your sins are, your mistakes are, your failures, your regrets are. This Christmas 2014, listen, God didn't come to rub it in, Rose Hill Missionary Baptist Church. My God came in order that he might be able to rub it out. God didn't come in order that he might be able to scare you. My God came in order that he might be able to save you. And so this Christmas holy day season, he loves you, he's with you, and he's for you. And that's important for us to understand. Now, here's my Christmas story. You want the Christmas story, right? It was time for the annual Christmas play. And so the pastor called on Angie Wheatley. And they said, Angie, he said, what I want you to do is I want you to get the children to put us on a play. And so Angie Wheatley begins the process of saying, okay, kids, we've been given this major responsibility. And what I want everybody in the children's department to have a role or a part. And Angie got the response from one little boy, said, even little Jimmy, you want Jimmy to have a part? Yeah, want Jimmy to have a part. But you know, Jimmy don't do these things well. Yeah, I know, but we're going to give Jimmy a part. You be praying about what part we could give Jimmy this Christmas season because the pastor's relying upon us to do the Christmas play. And so they thought about it. If a week went by, they came back and said, well, I found out something that I think the little girl said that Jimmy could do. Angie said, what is it that Jimmy could do? And said, he could be the innkeeper. And all, because the innkeeper stands behind the door, and surely Jimmy could stand behind the door, and when the knock comes on the door, that the innkeeper could open the door and say, there's no room in the inn. Jimmy could do that. That's all he'd have to learn. That's all he'd have to memorize. That would be his total part. He could do that. And so they practiced really hard. And they even practiced with Jimmy. And time after time, they'd knock on the door. Jimmy come, open the door. They'd say, is there any room? He said, there's no room in the inn. He'd slam the door. But it came time for the play. And when it came time for the play, everybody was dressed up. Everybody was ready for the Christmas play that Angie and the kids had put together for the church. And they came, and it came to Sammy or Jimmy's part. And Joseph and Mary, with their outfits, they were dressed. And they came to the door, and they knocked on the door. And he opens up, and Jimmy sees Mary, and Jimmy sees Joseph. And he remembers what some of the Sunday school teachers had taught him. He remembered what the pastor said about Jesus. Remember what Angie was carefully to tell him about Jesus. And he began to think about that, and tears began to swell up in his eyes. And so as he began to look at Joseph and Mary, he said, why, of course, there's room here for you. Some say that Jimmy messed up the play. Some said it was the worst play that they'd ever had in that church on Christmas time. Others said it was the best play that the church had ever had, the Sunday that Jimmy made room for Jesus. I'm wondering this Christmas holy day season if you've truly made room for Jesus. Have you really made a place for him in your heart? Do you have Jesus? Do you know him? Do you have a certainty that one of these days when the Lord comes back, that you'll go to be with him in glory? Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Lord, it's so good to be back home at the Rose Hill Missionary Baptist Church. God, Regina and I, we're thrilled to be here. And so thankful for this congregation. And I truly believe that the prayer that Mike Rout and I had this morning for this church, I believe that you'll answer that prayer. And I believe the best days of this congregation will yet be ahead of her as they begin to move forward in the future. God, if they're going to be our best days, then one of the things that we must do, we must make room for Jesus. We've got to open up our hearts, and we can't let other things crowd Jesus out of our lives. We can't let the cares and the concerns and the worries and the anxieties and all the things that just kind of fills our hearts at Christmas time, we can't allow those things to crowd out our love for God, because we're persuaded about one thing, and that is nothing can separate us from his love. We know that God loves us. We know that he's come to be with us, and we know that he's for us. And so, God, we've got to make room for Jesus. Where else could we go? What else could we do? Help us this Christmas to begin the process of opening up our hearts and saying, Lord, we want you to have full control of our lives, and we want to make room for the Lord Jesus, especially now. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, he passed, and we follow him there.